The News from Lake Wobegon podcast is sponsored by Fiber One Complete Pancake Mix, with 20% of the daily value of fiber and 0 grams trans fat in each light and fluffy serving. Fiber One pancakes are a better way to eat your favorite breakfast. Well, it's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, Minnesota, my hometown, out on the edge of the prairie. The sun came out early this week, and it got up almost to 30, warmed up, so the people were walking around in just jackets and put their parkas away. And the girls' volleyball team had a car wash up in the parking lot of the high school, which people were happy for because cars get filthy this time of year. But now it's gotten cold again, which we're grateful for because the ice is terrible when it gets warm. And as long as you're going to have ice, you may as well have good ice. We've had such great ice this year, and skating is something that even if you don't do it, you may think about doing it. And if you've ever done it, you look at a great sheet of ice, you can feel in your bones how beautiful that felt back when you were young and could do all those turns and skate backwards. There was a little girl with long blonde hair who was out late on the skating rink, and she had a boombox there playing Celine Dion, and she was practicing spins and turns and little leaps. She's the Peterson girl. Her dad was a skater. A lot of people don't know that, Darryl Peterson. He doesn't talk about it much. But years ago, when he was 16, 17, 18, even 20, he was a very serious skater. He skated with his partner, Darlene, who grew up in Lake Wobegon, but then in high school she moved to Minneapolis so that he had to drive down to Minneapolis 3 times a week to practice with her because they were very serious, or she was, and he was in love with her. So they practiced for competitive figures. His parents were hog farmers, and they thought this was the craziest thing that a boy could do, to skate around and stand on one foot and extend your other leg out behind you. Nothing for serious people. They just made fun of him. But he was in love with her. He never dared tell Darlene that he was, because she was just more woman than he thought he was worthy of. But they would skate, and they would hold hands, crossed hands, and then she'd be skating backwards, and then she would leap, and her long blonde hair that came almost all the way down her back would fly in his face. And it was so thrilling to him when that happened, and also when she would squat and spin, and when she would do that way back spin, leaning way back, and him holding her hands, and around they would go. He was absolutely thrilled by it. She wanted to compete for the Olympics and to see if they couldn't go to Sarajevo on the Olympic team. Well, that was nothing that Darryl ever was ambitious to do. He's a Lake Wobegon kid, and we don't think in terms of championships or gold medals. We'd be embarrassed by a gold medal. You gave us one, we'd have it bronzed. We don't come from championship ambitious people. We come from people who would say, you know, that spin, that's not bad. That's not bad what you did there. I've seen a lot worse than that jump right there. And those scores you got there, 4.2, 4.3, 3.8, 4.1, that's not bad. You know, you could have, that's pretty darn good for you. But Darlene inspired him to think that they could compete in the regionals and then go to the nationals in Dallas, and they could get on the Olympic team. And so they practiced and they practiced and they practiced. He moved down to Minneapolis, and he got a job working late nights in a gas station. And then he would get up in the morning, and they would practice for 3 hours in the morning and 3 hours in the evening. And one day at practice, she mentioned a man named Guillermo. And this man had been watching them. He came down from the stands at the hockey rink. They were leaning up against the boards, wiping their faces with towels, Darryl and Darlene. And Guillermo came down, and he kissed her on the mouth in a way that said everything to Darrow. Guillermo was from Spain. He was Spanish. He had blue-black hair that was combed straight back on the side. He was a swarthy man, a little heavy-set. He was an angry man in a way. He was frustrated because everyone in Minnesota thought he was Mexican, so they would see him and they'd say, you know, I always thought about going down to Mexico. Boy, I've heard it's really beautiful down there and the people are very friendly. And he would curse at them in Spanish and tell them he was from Barcelona. He was a poet. He was also a cab driver mainly, but he was a poet as well. And he was proud of being Spanish, and Darlene was so deeply in love with him. Darrow watched with interest, although it absolutely ripped his heart out to see how rude Guillermo was to her and how demanding he was and how caustic. He also made fun of Darrow because Darrow was such a naive person. He'd never been anywhere, never done anything. He didn't even know where Sarajevo was, and Guillermo was European. So he looked down his nose at Darrow, but he was rough on Darlene, and she seemed to like this, which confused Darrow. He thought you were supposed to adore women and get down on your knees and just lavish love and care on them, and then they would love you back. But Guillermo, always demanding that Darlene do his laundry and press his shirts in the right way and cook for him and clean his apartment. And she seemed fulfilled by this somehow. Well, he made fun of their skating. There is no ice in Spain and where he's from, and he made fun of them, said they would never win in Chicago. They'd be embarrassed. They would come back the laughingstock. But they went down to the regionals in Chicago, and they placed second, so they qualified to go to the nationals in Dallas, which was just a week away. And that was the week that Guillermo disappeared. Darlene called Darrow in anguish and said, he's gone. I can't bear it. He's been gone for 2 days. He didn't leave me a note or anything. He asked me to come live with him, and I said, no, I wasn't ready yet, and he just disappeared. So Darrow, her good friend, drove all over Minneapolis looking for this man, his rival, and found him in a bar. He was drunk, but he was still lucid. He saw Darrow walking in, and he raised his glass of whiskey, and he said, you go to the Nationals if you like, but if you win, I will break her leg, and I mean it. Well, love brings out strange things in people, but Darrow had never heard anyone say that about anyone they loved. He walked out the door, slow to anger, as Norwegians generally are, but once he got there, he was enraged. He was in a blind fury. He walked around the block 3 times thinking he'd cool off, but it only got him angrier and angrier, and he walked back into the bar past the pool table, and he grabbed a pool cue off the rack on the wall, and he walked up behind Guillermo, and he said, Guillermo. And he swung as hard as he could, or he started to swing as hard as he could, and then he slipped on the floor, which was streaked with vomit and beer. He slipped, and he could feel something tear in his lower back, and he collapsed in pain, face down on this filthy floor. He'd torn something in his back, and as he smelled what was on the floor, he knew that his skating career had come to an end. Darlene visited him in the hospital 3 weeks later. He was still there. He was all doped up. She told him that she and Guillermo had split up. It was amicable. They were still friends. They just knew that they weren't meant for each other. He said nothing. 6 weeks later, still in the hospital, she came to tell him that she was engaged to this man whom Darrow knew and everybody in Lake Wobegon knew was a drunk and would be nothing but problems. And that's how it turned out, in fact. Nothing but problems. And 10 years later, if you looked at Darlene, you had no idea that she ever had been a figure skater at all. Darrow hung up his skates as well, and he went to work on the hog farm, and then he got into the meat business, Peterson Pork Products, and he got himself a little panel truck and painted the name on the side, and he delivered fresh meat to cafes and schools, pork products all around Lake Wobegon for miles around. He married a woman who had no ambitions beyond Lake Wobegon at all. She was as unlike Darlene as could be. She was a solid woman whose ambition was to put big meals on the table for her family and to keep her house spotless clean. He was driving his meat truck the other night and just heading out of town and saw the rink all lit up and saw that little girl skating in a circle. And he pulled up and parked his truck and watched her for a while. The meat that he sells is fresh, not frozen, but that night it would be frozen. He didn't do his route. He went home to look for his skates. They were in the basement. His wife followed him down the stairs. She said, "Don't do this. You're going to injure yourself. You're going to hurt something in your back. You remember what you went through the last time. Just don't do it. Don't be so foolish." He found the skates. They were in a cardboard box back under the stairs. He headed up. She said, "You know, if you injure yourself and you're in a wheelchair and you have to steer with a pencil through your teeth, I'm not going to be your caregiver. I just want you to know that." He went out the door and he walked down to the rink where his little girl was skating around in a big circle. He walked out onto the ice and it all sort of came back to him. He remembered little bits of that flamenco routine that he and Darlene had worked up years ago in honor of her lover, Guillermo, and he did a little bit of that for his daughter. And then he showed her how to do that laid-back spin where he would hold her hands and round they would go, and she would lean way back as a woman can. And then he showed her the death spin where you take hold of your partner's hands and the man spins hard in a circle and she's horizontal to the ice, round and round, easier to do with an 11-year-old girl than with an 18-year-old woman. Her hair was flying. She was so beautiful. And then together they skated out. They skated out onto the ice, out into the dark, under the stars, just practicing their stroking, accelerating, he and his daughter, their hands together, their arms crossed. And it came back to him, the grace and the elegance of what he had given up, the grandeur, the sheer grandeur. There's never enough grandeur in life. Whenever you find grandeur, you ought to hold on to it. That's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good-looking, and all the children are above average. The News from Lake Wobegon podcast is sponsored by Fiber One Complete Pancake Mix, with 20% of the daily value of fiber and 0 grams trans fat in each light and fluffy serving. Fiber One Pancakes are a better way to eat your favorite breakfast.